That branding of Islam, what is the essence of the problem that we're facing here?
This is a war that Hamas declared on October 7 and every year before it. Two-state solution is an old technology.
What has to happen over there for there to be peace?
First, I have to acknowledge that Israel is not their problem. It's Hamas and the militancy. They used innocent people as shields.
Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith? Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Jonathan Bernison. I'm joined once again by my good friend and Messianic Jewish leader, Scott Volk. Since President Trump's inauguration, we've seen bold and unique ideas emerge about solutions to Israel's war with Hamas, and they are strikingly different. But the big question remains, will they end the war and create lasting peace? In having a show about understanding current events in Israel, I thought it was so important for our audience to hear from Dr. Zudi Jasser, trained at the Medical College of Wisconsin on a Navy scholarship. He served as an officer for 11 years and is a practicing Muslim. He speaks often about balance needed between faith, culture, and liberty. He's one of the founders of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy and served on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Please welcome to the program, Dr. Jasser. Dr. Jasser, welcome to Jewish Voice.
It's an honor
to be
here.
Thank you for coming over. We're really glad to have you. I want to begin with your story because your parents, when your mother was 6 months pregnant with you, fled Syria, right? Mm-hmm. And what led them to come to the U.S. and find a new home?
Well, it's a classic American story in that my father did his undergraduate learning in Britain and was avidly studying Western society and British democracy and became not only an Anglophile, but loved American culture and ideology. His father, Zudi Jasser, was not only a businessman in Syria, but a newspaper man, had what became Al Hayat newspaper, which still exists under regimes, but in the 30s and 40s, it was attempted to be a newspaper for freedom and democracy. When the French pulled out of Syria in 1948, the Syrian people tried to democratize their country, and for 4 years fleeted with democracy into 1952, and his newspaper flourished, and my dad saw what his father was trying to do in his young age. My dad was 10 at the time, but it failed. There were 20 coups that happened in Syria between 1952 and 1963. They nationalized all the companies. They took away personal properties. My grandfather was in house arrest. The Jassers were basically persona non grata. The paper was destroyed and nationalized. My dad finished his medical education in 65 and ultimately escaped. My parents understood that we could practice our faith more freely in a small town in Wisconsin that I grew up in. I was born in Ohio, but grew up basically in Wisconsin from grade school on through medical school. And I learned that in Little Neenah, Wisconsin, I could be more Muslim, more closer to God, and necessarily interpret my faith in my own interpretations, not the ones mandated by government or mandated by clerics or any oppressive movement. And my father taught me that they felt American the moment they got off the airplane.
How sweet freedom is, huh? Exactly. Really.
You started an organization in the early 2000s, American Islamic Forum for Democracy. After growing up, going to college and getting your training, what prompted you and motivated you to start that center?
Yeah, so after 9/11, I was just horrified by not only the horrific attacks that we suffered on 9/11, but how unaware we were at the real disease. And Al-Qaeda, these 11 operatives that did what they did, were simply the tip of the iceberg of a deeper problem. And as I understood growing up, being a Muslim that then went to college and started to realize that I might have my interpretation of Islam that my parents blessed me with, and my father translated the Quran, and we believe in the authenticity of the Arabic scripture, I was preserved from that. But then I go to the college and see the Muslim Brotherhood working in the Muslim Student Association and see a lot of the politicization of Islam. And I went home and I said, I called my mom. I said, what is this politics? This is not our religion. The imam is supposed to be teaching me about morality and character. And yet it was this evil, you know, politics, anti-Western stuff. So that's why I joined the Navy. I realized that that's the key to being an American, is giving back to this country. It's the most moral institution. So fast forward to 9/11, and I said, I looked at the Arizona Republic. On the cover of the Arizona Republic was a article that said, American Muslims torn between loyalty to America and loyalty to Islam. Wow. Called the reporter and said, where'd you interview these people? Imams that were basically blaming it on Israel, every conspiracy theory, blaming it on the Jews and other nonsense. And I said, wow, we need an institution that can speak for Americanism, that can speak for the problems and be genuinely humble about our problems within Islam and what we haven't reformed. Mm. And that's what the American Islamic Forum is. It's not just anti-terrorism, recognition of liberty and freedom through a process that created ultimately the United States of America.
That's fantastic. Amazing. Friends, we need your help. We need you to get involved and partner with us. The clock is ticking. We're reaching Jewish communities and their neighbors in the remotest parts of the world. We're going to places that I can't even tell you about because they'd be in danger if it was made public, but we have very limited time. We have a window of opportunity to reach hurting Jewish people. We're talking about Jewish people that need dental care, medical care, eye care, clean water. We're doing water purification systems for families. You can help. We need you to get involved. We want to sow some resources into your life as a way of saying thank you. The first one is a great book. It's called Who Owns the Land? This is biblical truth, and you need to have a biblical worldview. I want to get that right out to you. Now, what I really want to ask for are Shalom Partners. That's a monthly partner that enables us to go every month into areas, remote areas, as well as here in the U.S., in Israel, to help Jewish people find eternal life. That's the greatest gift you can give a Jewish person. And here's what we'll send you, the Jewish Voice Study Bible. It's heavy because it's so filled with pages of great information and, of course, the Word of God. Get your Jewish Voice Study Bible by becoming a Shalom Partner. I want to get these things out to you immediately, but please don't wait. Jewish people and their neighbors need to hear the gospel now more than ever, and you can make that possible by becoming a Shalom Partner. Break down for us, just in the simplest, in simple terms, Islam, just going back to Muhammad, what is jihadist? What is Sharia law? Break this down for us. Just give us an understanding of what is the essence of the problem that we're facing here.
Yeah, so
it's not Islam as a whole, right?
If I believed that, not only would I not be a Muslim, but, I wouldn't understand history, because if it was Islam as a whole, Islam would have no history in which people thrived. You know, there was a time, it's never been a democratic institution, but ultimately, if you look at the 7th, 8th, 9th century, Bernard Lewis wrote a book called The Jews of Islam, and wrote how Rabbi Maimonides, a physician and a rabbi.
I was just going to mention that the Jews thrived.
The Jews thrived.
Under that era of Islam.
And that era, the Elon Musks of the world were living in Islamic, but those were not democracies, those were dynasties. So ultimately, if you look at Islam as the word itself means surrender to God, it doesn't mean peace. Salam means peace. Islam means by believing in God, you surrender to his will, but it doesn't mean you then commit suicide or all these other nonsense that radicals do. It means you do the best you can to effectuate the gifts that he gives you on this earth. So it's a religion that should not have clergy, that, you know, if, whether you're Shia or Sunni, there should be no clergy or intermediaries between us and God. Islam is a very personal religion. And that's why I have such a close affinity with my Jewish friends, in that there's probably a lot more similar between Judaism and Islam than Islam and Christianity, as far as the place of the church and clerics, et cetera. Imam simply means teacher, like rabbi means teacher.
Right.
It does not mean intermediary between God. Now, jihad, if you look at the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there was no separation of mosque and state. He was not only, we believe, a messenger of God, but he was also the head of a military and he was the head of state. So when you had one individual that had all three of those characteristics, it then in some ways institutionalizes theocracy. That needs reform. Does Islam mean jihad? Well, at the time, when you mix those roles, I was in the Navy. I signed up for 4 years in America. If at the time into my third year, we deployed to Somalia, went to Operation Restore Hope, I was on my ship. When we were in Mogadishu, I turned to my CO and I said, you know, I'm tired. I changed my mind. I'm going to go work for IBM instead of working for the US Navy. I can't do that. You signed up. It'd be unauthorized absence. It would be, you know, if I just left, I could be put in jail, you know, and ultimately, if you work with the enemy, God forbid, it's treason and you could be killed. So Islam at the time, the military, if you left the Muslim military, you'd be, same thing, you'd be killed. The apologists will tell you jihad, and I have friends with their first name Jihad, so it can't mean military war. My friend Jihad, it just simply means struggle to get closer to God in an apologetic way. Realistically, from a branding, jihad means adherence to a military violent conquest to advance Islamic law globally. So the jihadists divide the world into the land of Islam, where Muslims are a majority, and the land of war. So there's no land of peace to the jihadists unless we reform and destroy those ideas intellectually.
There is a way forward, a God-centered solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict, to provide you with a plan to counter the rise of anti-Semitism and to say thank you for your one-time gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the book, Who Owns the Land? Plus, we'll include two more gifts to help you honor your own convictions. A wristband with the words, Still Standing with Israel, and the plaque with a directive from Psalm 122 in Hebrew, Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. Please call, write, or go online today. This program today opened your eyes to the staggering number of Jewish people living in uncertainty. Then please consider becoming a monthly Shalom partner. Make your first gift of $40 or more per month. And to show our appreciation, we'll send you the wristband, plaque, and the book, Who Owns the Land? Plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible. This 1,800-page resource includes unique features found in no other study Bible. With this extraordinary resource, you'll experience God's love and purpose in surprising ways. As a Shalom partner, please know that 100% of your monthly gift of $40 or more will be invested in life-saving relief efforts and gospel sharing in Israel and around the world. Please call our toll-free number or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift will make a difference. From all of us at Jewish Voice, thank you so much.
Dr. Jasser, thank you so much for taking the time.
It's an honor to
be with
here.
Us today.
Thank
I hope you. It's the beginning of many other visits to
Absolutely.
Jewish Voice.
We've heard terms like Islam, Muslim, Islamist. Can you
jihadist.
Break
those?
Jihadist. Can you break those terms down? Because I think in many minds like my own, Islam is Islam. And within it, you've got this whole array of different people's expressions. But you talk about the term Islamist. Can you just explain that to us and why it's important for us to understand that?
That's the whole reason we formed our organization. And I think if you look at my legacy work, I think one of my legacies is going to be that we were able to shift the conversation in America from being about terrorism and radicals, you know. I remember when I was on Glenn Beck's show, he said, Zudi, you're the radical, actually. The other guys are
true.
Sort of running
That's
the show.
True. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, yeah. So I said, we need to stop using the term moderate Muslim. I hate that term. What does that even mean? Islamist is the correct term. And the groups like Council on American Islamic Relations, Islamic Society of North America, the alphabet soup of Muslim groups don't want you to use that term. Mm. And my response to them, as I've testified to Congress, is, that's what they call themselves in Arabic. H-A-M-A-S, Hamas, means Harikat al-Muslimiyya in Arabic, which means the movement of Muslims for political control, for political movement. So Islamism, just like socialism versus capitalism is about economic ideas, political ideas about the role of religious identity in the state and in the legal system is Islamic movements. So the instrument for Islamists is the legal system of Islam or Islamic jurisprudence versus the secularist parties and other parties, the communists and others that exist in the Middle East, are not about Islamic law and Islamic rules.
But they're not all terrorists. Jihadists are not
Absolutely
all terrorists.
Not. That's why I don't like that term.
It's
because
important.
Because terrorism is simply the belief that non-combatants can be targeted, all that kind of stuff. But the ends of trying to put into place, you know, they'll say, for example, when I debated that imam here locally, he said, well, if Muslims are a majority, we have a right to then vote in Egypt or elsewhere, Islamic law. And I'm like, no, you don't. That's called mobocracy. That's a majoritocracy. That's not liberalism. The fact that makes America America is that we can't be taken over by a majority that's loose, that ultimately the Supreme Court has the final rule of the land, not the 50% plus one vote. That would be like, as Ben Franklin said, three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. And that's how Hamas got elected, basically.
Right. Wow.
And that's how a lot of these parties, so Islamism is the desire through populist movements, through viral movements, to put into place Islamic dominance in areas where Muslims are a majority. They're not seeking to take over the West, but they do want to weaken and make the West impotent to affecting Muslim world, understood. Muslim entities.
Okay, so let me use the terminology correctly. Islamist nations,
yes,
which are committed to the destruction of the infidel, which begins with Israel because they're in the territory, and ultimately the West.
Yes.
Right? That's why I've heard Netanyahu refer to Israel as the little Satan and America as the big Satan.
Yeah.
Do you feel like there can be peace in the Middle East? Like, do you have hope for that? It seems like an utterly impossible situation. The thought of a two-state solution, is that something? Like, how do you view what has to happen over there for there to be peace?
So there's two answers to what peace in the Middle East. One is the future protection of Israel, and two is every different nation state in the Middle East and how they're going to evolve. But in Israel, the only way to peace in Israel is when the Palestinians give us an unconditional surrender. That's the only way. Wow. To constantly war after war and then have a moral equivalency where they do what they did on October 7, and then a month later, the UN and Western universities and other are talking about the crimes against humanity that Israel did, and a EU litigant who happens to be Muslim at the EU, who's an Islamist, tried to bring Prime Minister Netanyahu to a war crimes tribunal. And President Trump now appropriately is going to take our fundings away from that entire process because the UN, contrary to what Eleanor Roosevelt had envisioned, has become basically a league of dictatorships against the West. And that little small state is the focus of over half of their
time.
And they don't care about China. They don't care about what China's doing to the Uyghurs or what's happening in Russia or elsewhere.
They don't care about North Korea. They don't care about Iran. They just sanction Israel.
Because it's a dictator's club against the folks that would try, that would actually be the ones to facilitate their own weakness and to actually be anti-China, anti-Putin. All of the evil actors say, hey, the way to prevent the UN from actually exposing who we are, and that's why President Trump appropriately pulled out of the facade of the Human Rights Council that is in the UN, is it's simply a con operation that's happening, and we shouldn't be funding that.
Well, we just have a little time left. Let's talk about the two-state solution. I just heard economist Jeffrey Sachs, very influential economist, saying that the only solution is a two-state solution and Israel going back to the pre-67 borders. What's your thoughts on this?
Most of us in this community that have been talking about debating what should be the way forward, even my friends at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy, if you look at Mr. Goldberg there who's running that, he talked about two-state solution and last week came out and said, he apologized to the Jewish community and said, we've been very forthright about the need for some identification there. And FDD is very, you know, out front on these issues. And he apologized for supporting two-state solution. And he said what I've been saying for a long time, is that imagine Syria was not a state and Assad was running it. And would you give them the right to a state? No, not with Assad running it and not with 30 years of, or 40 years of Baathism, which is incompatible with human rights domestically and globally. So the Palestinians have to first surrender that they are going to not only rid themselves of Hamas, but the ideologies that create Hamas.
So genocide, actually, to push Israel into the sea.
Exactly. I want to disrupt this dialogue about why do we keep using the old technology? Two-state solution is an old technology. 21st century technology of discussing solutions in the Middle East is looking at a way forward a pathway that doesn't talk about state yet. They haven't earned that. When we were in the colonies era in America, nobody was talking about the United States of America. They hadn't had the technology yet. They got together. We had the Constitutional Convention in 1789, 13 years after 1776. So if the Palestinians are going to have their liberation moment against their rulers, which is not Israel, they first have to acknowledge that Israel is not their problem. It's Hamas and the militancy. Don't rebuild it and allow it's rebuilt, being rebuilt until we secure an unconditional surrender.
Wow, that is such a great point. Gaza was an attempt to be at peace and give them autonomy, but they just made it into a staging ground for missile attacks. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work. So really the leadership has to be completely changed, and there needs to be a system of re-education of the Palestinians.
Hamas has to be thrown away. The process of developing who their new leadership has to have a vetting process to where they can accept that Western values are their mantra, if you will, and a recognition of respect of equality, that there's no moral equivalency between Israel defending itself versus terror against non-combatants and children and women and elderly. That's just incomparable. I'm not saying that there haven't been innocent killed in Gaza, and I wish there was a way that could have been prevented, just as I do in Japan in World War II or in Germany. But unfortunately, this is a war that Hamas declared on October 7 and every year before it. And as they built these tunnels, it was a process in which they used innocent people as shields and used them as guards for attacks that they did against Israel. So, you know, as we look forward, every freedom has come at a price. And I hope the Palestinian community and those of us that believe in reformation within Islam can say that, okay, we need to advocate for values that are consistent and transparent.
Dr. Jasser, we have a saying in Yiddish, from your mouth to God's ear.
Thank you.
May that be the case. Thank you for spending the time with us.
And I'm hoping to share in your principles of Tikkun Olam and repairing the world.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is a way forward, a God-centered solution, but it's going to require ongoing prayers, a biblical worldview, and information we can trust. The book, Who Owns the Land?, cuts through the anger and accusations and provides a clear voice of reason to counter the rise of anti-Semitism. To help you better understand the past, present, and future of the Arab-Israeli conflict, and to say thank you for your one-time gift of $40 or more, Jonathan would like to send you this recently updated and revised edition. Plus, we'll include two more gifts to serve as reminders that the war raging half a world away has eternal implications. A simple wristband with the words, "Still Standing with Israel," and the plaque with a clear directive from Psalm 122 in Hebrew, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." Words matter. On your wall or on your wrist, you can state with conviction, "I have not forgotten." Will you call, write, or go online today? This program today may have opened your eyes to the staggering number of Jewish people living in devastation and uncertainty. If you share in that heartbreak, then please consider becoming a monthly Shalom partner. Make your first gift of $40 or more per month. And to show our deep appreciation, we'll send you the wristband, plaque, and book, Who Owns the Land?, plus the Jewish Voice Study Bible. This 1,800-page resource includes unique features found in no other study Bible, including introductions, footnotes, day-in-the-life articles, a glossary, and concordance, insight about the feasts and holidays, and exclusive content from Jonathan Bernis, plus full-color maps, charts, and photos. Spend time with this extraordinary resource, and you'll experience God's love and purpose for your own life in ways that may surprise you. As a Shalom partner, please know that 100% of your monthly gift of $40 or more will be invested in life-saving relief efforts and gospel sharing in Israel and around the world. For a year and a half, you've been praying, "How should I respond to this attack on Israel?" This opportunity to become a monthly Shalom partner might be your answer.
We have a program called Shalom Partners, and we have a special gift for those of you that will commit to bless the Jewish people on a monthly basis through this ministry. You need to understand the connection between Israel and your relationship with God. Log on to the website and get involved as a partner with Jewish Voice. today. God bless you.
Please call our toll-free number or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. If you prefer, you can give securely online at jewishvoice.tv or scan the QR code. Your gift will make a difference. From all of us at Jewish Voice, thank you so much.
Scott, as we've listened to all of these intricate details, the bottom line still is this is spiritual. All this is spiritual.
Yeah.
And I think many of the things that you're going through right now, because we get your emails, we get your letters, are spiritual, and the solution is spiritual. God answers prayer. And all of this is about faith. If you trust God, if you believe God, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We want to take a moment to pray for you, for your needs, but God is the answer. He is. So don't run from him. Run to him in faith.
Amen. We agree with you today. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we pray, great God, the Prince of Peace would inhabit each one watching and listening to us today, Lord, for those who are believing you for healing, for those who are believing you, Lord, for restoration in family relationships, Lord. Restoration in their finances. Lord, I just pray that you, the God of peace, would come. And even as we've talked about things on this show today, things that seem impossible with man, they're possible with you. If Lord. Peace is possible in Jerusalem, what else can't Lord. You do? So we believe you, God, for each person watching.
Yes.
Touch, deliver, bring healing, and bring hope and courage in Yeshua's name.
Healing and wholeness in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name. And I especially want to speak to those of you that have not yet committed your life to the Lord and invited Yeshua, Jesus, into your heart, especially if you're Jewish. He's your Messiah. And for everyone else, he's your Savior also. So just ask him. It's about faith. It's a faith proposition. Just say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I want to live for you. And forgive me of my sins. And that simple prayer will change your life. We invite you also to continue to discover more about the Jewish foundations of your faith. You can go to our website, jewishvoice.tv, where you'll find great resources to help you grow spiritually and opportunities to join the mission here at Jewish Voice of reaching the Jewish people and their neighbors with the good news of Jesus, the only way to salvation. His name is Yeshua, salvation. So don't wait. Okay, I also want to remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They need prayer, not just Jews, but Arabs, not just Israelis, but Palestinians. God's peace plan is the Prince of Peace, and we're called to pray for their true peace. And also remember, the greatest gift that you can share with any Jewish person, or anyone for that matter, is the good news of the Savior, the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, Yeshua, Jesus. Until next time, this is Jonathan Burness, along with Scott Volk, saying shalom and God bless you.